somebody, not just anybody. You know, I need someone. You so much you than today. Anybody, anybody's helping anyway. Now these days, you don't have me up so self-assured. I find the change of mind. I'm opening up the door. Help me if you can. I'm touching down. And I do appreciate you being around. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please?
Oh, this is Jim Fetzer. Welcome to a Few Good Men Wednesday edition of The Raw Deal with my co-host Bill Bonatotti. We have a very good man with us today, Joaquin Egobian, who's an expert on geopolitics, not to mention pedophile, sex trafficking, and a host of other issues where he's been in the forefront of exposing the corruption of the American government. Joaquin, I want to give you a sketch of some of the reasons I believe World War III begins tomorrow. First of all, we've had NATO taking out the advanced radar warning signals from Russia, reducing the response time from 14 or 16 minutes to 10 or 12 by 4 minutes. Some think that means it'll be too little too late by the time Russia realizes it has to respond. Putin has put 11 nuclear subs, each of which has a large component. Altogether, the 11 represent over 1,000 missiles to strike. For example, the 400 silos distributed across the United States. We have Emmanuel Macron declaring that tomorrow, D-Day, he's going to announce that Europe is going to war with Russia. What could be more obvious than that? And we've even seen a plan now of how they intend to bring American troops. How many times have we been told American troops aren't going to be on the ground in Ukraine? Bullshit. They got a very elaborate plan, but if you have it and I have it, the Russians have it. We also have Putin putting up an anti-satellite satellite in low Earth orbit adjacent to American. I have no doubt that it's a major military satellite. I expect all hell is going to break out tomorrow, Joaquin. How do you see it?
Well, the events that you just mentioned appear very imminent, that things are going to happen. It's going to heat up. One of these days, we will wake up and we will find that there is an active kinetic World War III going on. It's been building up, as I said, for the last year or so. There's just been so much provocation by all the Western. The major Western countries, America, France, UK, Germany, even. I mean, Olaf ends up saying, oh, no, we don't want the tourist missiles going in. We need to have German training there, and we're not going to put our troops on the ground. And then he ends up, being a coward and going along. And so we've seen incremental steps every week that's been building to this big climax. I hope to God it doesn't start tomorrow, but it sure seems imminent, like it could happen at any time.
Let me add a few more ingredients here. So I think this recipe spells apocalypse now. Biden covertly approved Ukraine's use of our missiles to strike deep inside of Russia. There have now been multiple attacks deep inside of Russia. Putin warned that attacks deep inside of Russia would be regarded as threats to the national security and warrant a nuclear response. He's also explained how the introduction of F-16s, which are nuclear capable, into Ukraine would cross another red line and warrant a nuclear response by Russia. Well, Netherlands, of all places, is sending Ukraine F-16s, violating another red line. How much do they think they can push Russia and Putin around before he finds it a necessity to respond? Frankly, I think the time has come. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, they're leaving him no choice. He is dealing right now with a very much an existential threat to his own national security. The man's a nationalist. He has always wanted to protect his homeland and his people. And the West has just encroached and provoked. And I mean, every day it's one more step. And I always write from the perspective that all the West are just puppets. They're being told what to do. They click their heels and follow orders by what I would call the City of London crowd. Just follow the money and the banking cartel. They create every single conflict on this earth. And every war, they finance both sides. They finance Hitler, they finance Mao, they finance all of the worst, genocidal leaders, Stalin, all of them, Lenin, the Bolshevik Revolution. It goes on. And it's the same money changers that are behind all war.
Let me just add a couple cappers. There's an International Economic Conference taking place now in St. Petersburg. Scott Ritter, a former UN arms inspector who's been a very close student of both Ukraine and what's going on in Gaza, was hauled off a plane in New York and his passport confiscated so he couldn't speak. He has been in the forefront of explaining the risks of nuclear war, a nuclear winter, the extinction of half the world population, I'd say, all in the Northern Hemisphere. And get this, tomorrow, June 6, 2042, 6, 6, 42, 4 and 2 equals 6, 6, 6, 6, tomorrow. I think that tells us what's about to happen, Joaquin.
Yeah, there's so many indications that say it's happening and it's going to happen very soon. Whether it's tomorrow, yeah. What we're seeing is simultaneous to the buildup of the actual kinetic phase of World War III. We're also seeing Ritter, and I understand that Judge Napolitano also was taken off a plane to St. Petersburg also, I think. And
Yes.
and then look what's happening with Alex Jones. They're going after him. They're saying that they're going to shut him down, his whole studio. He can't operate anymore under a hoax that you're very familiar with because you were victimized by that same hoax.
I think going after Alex, and it turns out Mike Adams, too, who are number one and number two most influential figures on the internet, is to shut him down because something big is about to happen, and they don't want Alex Jones and Mike Adams to be in the position to inform the country what the hell is going on. Bill, I want your thoughts about all of the above. Yours.
Hey. Okay, good morning. Hello, Hakeem. Pleasure to meet you, brother. And
Good
I'm
to meet
really
you
glad to
too.
read your material. There's a chance with two or more gathered crisis with us. We might convert Jim after all. We might make him a Jesus lover. We'll see. I always talk about this in the idea of good versus evil in the bigger picture, through the ever since Satan fell with one third of the angels to rule civilization. And so we can go all the way back to Samaritan times. The point is this, as you said, this is all connected over. I've read your work, and I've tried to talk to Jim and Alan about the Protocols of Zion, Elders of Zion, Albert Pike's letters to Giuseppe Mazzini, this Rockefeller Special Studies Project, Prospect for America, just trying morals and dogma, put it in that context. And from that perspective, we've got what they're telling us through the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, young global leaders, and Putin's one of them. And so we know it's interconnected. Whether now I've heard about this, of course, we all heard about the Georgia Guidestones about bringing the population down to 500 million. And one way to do that is nuclear war, right? And that's the quickest way to do it. And I've just been praying. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, seeing Judge Knapp and Scott being taken off of planes, seeing everything that unfolded as Jim's described, it sure looks like the script has been written way back, if you recall, and I know, I'm sure you do, Albert Pike's letter to Giuseppe Mazzini talking about this Third World War. It wasn't a prediction. It's a game plan, right, brother? So
Freemasons have been at the forefront of plotting centuries in advance.
Amen. So, go ahead.
Well, I mean, it's been a long time coming. They planned everything way in advance. I mean, decades, if not centuries. And this one, it looks like the big one. Every country, it's a West versus East. And that's the thing. A lot of writers, and I wrote my last, I really like Paul Craig Roberts. He's really down to earth in his writing. It's very readable, and he makes a lot of sense. He speaks the truth. However, him and a whole bunch of others, even my fellow West Point, Douglas McGregor, who's also very good, these guys don't talk about the bigger picture about who's running the show. And I have a feeling I know why. They don't want to die. Simple as that. You know, they have a high profile where anybody that speaks the truth about the ones pulling all the strings, they take them out. It's very common. It's been done. Michael Hastings, you know, he exposed a couple of the generals that I went to school with, one of them, Petraeus, and, the other guy, the special ops guy in Afghanistan.
Gary Johnson. Anyway.
It's very obvious that these guys don't talk about, who's really running the show, but the show is being run. And that's why I also believe that the West and the East are just the same as the Republicans and the Democrats and the conservatives and the Labor Party. It's all the same. The same power interests are behind every dichotomy, this or that, controlled opposition. And I agree that I believe Putin and Xi are controlled opposition. Just like Trump, he's controlled opposition. Mm-hmm. They are all controlled. They're all playing their role in this little drama called the end of the world, you know?
Can I comment on that quick, Jim? I 100% agree with you, Hakeem. And I've been trying to talk about it on that level. A lot of people are still speaking about, of course, the way they want us to frame it in the right-left paradigm, you know? And I do agree that, ask yourself, why didn't some people come out? Well, we look what happened to JFK, what they did to him. And so we know that's the example set. And then Robert, and then, of course, Malcolm, I'm just having a moment here. This happened to Gage. Thank you. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. So, Jim, thank you for giving me a chance to respond.
Of course. Bill, absolutely 100%. I walk in. You had a recent article explain how the U.S. has taken no measures to calm things down. And in fact, when you have the guy who might make the most powerful presentation to affect world leaders to not go forward with a nuclear war is hauled off the plane by the Department of State, headed by Anthony Blinken, who, of course, represents himself as a Jew first, rather than as the American Secretary of State. I think this is because Israel wants a war between the U.S. and Russia. They believe they're going to survive and emerge as the leader of the New World Order from Jerusalem. I think that's been the big picture agenda by the Rothschilds empire from the beginning. Your thoughts?
Well, also, look at breaking news now. The Israeli Air Force has done airstrikes on like three nations. I mean, they've been at it for a while. They were doing it with Hezbollah and Southern Lebanon, but they've also gone back to that, and they, of course, along with America and UK, have been doing airstrikes against the Houthis. And I believe we went back and forth on the weekend, but it looks like they actually damaged at least the USS Eisenhower, the aircraft carrier in the Red Sea. Although I saw another West Pointer I went to school with, I was his assistant squad leader when he was a freshman, and that's our Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin. And he comes out right after it was probably damaged. He said, yep, we're going to keep the ship deployed with a, and also the destroyer, you know, because they have a fleet of other naval vessels in, on every aircraft carrier group. And we have Lloyd Austin saying, no, they're going to stay there for another month. And they've already overextended their time of duty there. I think they're now there for like 8 or 9 months during the whole time of the Middle East war. And yes, I agree. I think basically we have a situation where Netanyahu's bogged down. It's a war of attrition there too. And guess who's going to win that war of attrition? The guys with the very simple weapons that are in the tunnels and their guerrilla warfare and the Israeli Defense Air Force and Army and the Navy, they don't have a chance. They are going basically into the same mode of operation as Ukraine. They're going to be running out of patience. There's already the world opinion that's totally disgusted with what they're doing with Palestinians now. And yeah, there's three basically area of operations now with combat, and the soon one, of course, is going to be Taiwan. There was just the little conference that Lloyd Austin and Secretary of Minister of Defense of China just met over the weekend in the Singapore Defense Conference, and they don't agree on anything. I mean, there's a one China policy in Washington, and yet they don't practice what they have in writing. They're talking about all the time coming to the defense of Taiwan, giving them all the arms, and you know, it's like three different war fronts that America is sponsoring, and they're going to be losing. They're already losing now on two, and there's going to probably soon be the third in the Asian Pacific. So yeah, I mean, it's World War III on three different war fronts now. It's looking very much grim.
Oh, I do agree. Now I think about the Eisenhower. A very astute colleague of mine pulled up official photos of the Eisenhower, and the ship we see under assault, even with missiles hitting it, had only one deck beneath its communication antennae, where the Eisenhower had three, but they were sending a message that this is what you can expect. And the report I have today is they moved the Eisenhower 1,800 kilometers away, so the Houthis are unlikely to attack it, seeing what the writing on the wall. Bill, your thoughts.
I see. You know, you guys have the military expertise and you have the contacts. I don't. All I can do is look in on it. I'm hopeful only because of this, Jim. We talked about October 7th, which was obviously staged, and we discussed and broke that down from a heavy equipment operator's point of view, what I saw. And there's no forensic evidence of that wall being destroyed anywhere. Certainly couldn't have been done with a loader, which is the only thing we have a video of. The fence scene we see, the fence had to be cut first. I don't want to get too deep into it, but there's no forensic evidence that that wall was crashed through in 15 places. And there's a guy I talked to who I met in X, and all I can say is he claims he has people he knows in Hamas and the Houthis, and he said that was ISIS actors on the other side of the fence, that it wasn't Hamas. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But I'm part of, you know, wag the dog. How much of it really happened? Couldn't possibly happen without a stand down. We know that. But we don't see the evidence. How'd they get through? So because that is clearly a false flag, sometimes I wonder how much messaging we're getting is false flag evidence to get us to a place of fear, you know, like ideological subversion. That's how you drive people, you know, where I'm going with this, Akeem, and through the demoralization crisis, destabilization crisis, to get the masses to conform. And that's what this is all about, through the central bank digital currency, the world wars, the World Health Organization, you know, international health regulations, the UN, blah, 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 blah. We go on and on and on. It's all about forcing the masses to conform to this globalist agenda of the new world order, right? And so I'm just hopeful that a lot of what we're getting, and maybe not actually the amount of death and destruction they're presenting, maybe I'm just hopium on that. I don't know. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Joaquin?
Yeah, the October 7th, that was to me a complete setup. It was the same dynamics as 9/11. You know, they wanted the big war. They wanted to draw America in. You know, Netanyahu has supported Hamas. He's basically been the creator of it. You know, it's a wedge against the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank. He wanted to divide and rule. That's the way they all operate. You know, they divide, rule, West, East, Republican, Democrat, over and over and over ad nauseum. And that's what that was. And so, yeah, and Qatar, he actually sends them money all the time. I mean, yeah, it's everything's on the inside. It's such a corrupt and evil control mechanism that, you know, we all become victims unless we fight back. And we can fight back. We outnumber them 1,000,000 to 1. I always say that. We need to unify. And it's happening. I mean, you can look around the world and you see there are cities. They were very active just last Saturday in Berlin. They were also very active in Budapest. It's spreading.
Anti-war protests you're talking about. Anti-war protests.
Yes, yes. And of course, you know, there was so much coverage of the college campuses in America being pro-Palestinian. But, you know, a huge disappointment. I knew it would happen, but I was still very disappointed. We have Congress
by the crackdown on the protesters. You were disappointed, right? The crackdown on the protesters.
Yeah. And basically, you know, putting in the law, the anti-Semitism law. I mean, and what I'm really disappointed in is that Congress is completely owned and controlled by Israel. It's just demoralizing that there are so few people that speak up. Go ahead.
So bad that the Speaker of the House is inviting the genocidal maniac to
Netanyahu, Oh my God.
I'd say this is analogous to inviting Adolf Hitler to address Congress in World War II. That's an insult to Hitler, actually. I think Netanyahu is more of a monster than was he.
Yeah, I mean, it's just pathetic what's happening all around. I mean, it's like, there's very little good news. The only good news is more and more people realize that there is a cabal out there that wants us dead through any kind of means necessary. That's people are catching on. They know that their government is not in their best interest. They know it.
Jim, well, first of all, let's point out Hitler, according to the International Red Cross reports, and we just had a great group discussion, by the way, Jim, that's got over 110,000 views right now on X, right? On our roundtable on Holocaust revisionism. Looks like Hitler was actually the good guy in that picture, although, you know, certainly not the demon they pointed him out to be. Now, how he got, it's interesting, Hakeem, maybe not familiar with this, and I don't know if Jim wants to comment. how he got roped into it and then got turned on, or was he just playing his role like we see Putin? I don't know if that's an equivalency or not. It's very confusing. You see what I'm getting at? But I go back to October 7th because we're in 9/11. We saw the towers drop. We see the demolition. We have the forensic, although they didn't do an investigation, that in this report's a fraud. But what I'm getting at is we don't have the destruction of the wall in 15 places, not even one. We have no forensic evidence. I'll tell you, let me real quick, Hakeem, because you're new to this. I was certified to operate excavator, loader, dozer, backhoe. I've worked for Shaw Environmental at Camp Pendleton, at Fort Ord, and on both coasts, for example. That is a loader, a cat loader. It's not a dozer. The only video footage we have, the loader can't cut a fence. The fence was cut. The loader pushes the fence around. That's it. And then these guys run through. Most of them don't have masks on, which Hamas would have to maintain their identity, not to disclose it. And there's already motorcycles on the other side of the fence, street bikes. It's like, where did this even happen? And then there's no evidence that that loader could not break that 20-foot wall down full of rebar and steel with that huge footing. You'd have to destroy it with some type of rocket. You guys are the weapons experts, not me. Some type of shoulder-based rocket or munition of some kind. And then the loader can get in there and move material around. But we don't have any footage of that. There's no, like, flyover.
Stand by. We'll be right back with Bill Bonatotti and Joaquin Agobian right after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, let me say, Scott Ritter being taken off is a serious matter. Here we have a bit more report about it. As I was boarding my flight out of New York, I was pulled aside by three CBP officers who seized my passport. When asked why, they said orders of the State Department. No further information was provided. My bags were removed from the flight, and I was escorted out of the airport. The former Marine Corps intel officer told Sputnik, more important, former UN nuclear arms inspector. Ritter added his passport was not given back. He will appeal the decision. He believes U.S. authorities are afraid of his participation in the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum, no doubt about it. Russian Foreign Minister spokeswoman Maria Zakharova asked sarcastically, is this done under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution or the Fourth? Commenting on his removal from the flight to Russia, where he had so much to say. Let me pick up a bit of what Scott Ritter has to say here that I think includes the reason why he was hauled off. He's actually going to predict that war will break out by mid-June, but I think he's giving too much time.
How are you tonight, Scott? Are you raring to go?
Him when I was there in this past winter, he was on. Remember, Jeff, we did a brief little...
Absolutely, yeah. You guys were in a studio in Moscow.
You were home. You were doing the thing. The guy in the middle, well, we know who he is, fat white boy. But then we got the guy on the right with the U.S. Tour of Duty hat. Bespeckled
eye candy.
He is eye candy personified. Those are the three guys, but we have a support team behind us. What do you call him? The extraordinarily masculine, let's strangely effeminate Ryan Milton will be in there, not just producing, but doing the heavy lifting. I've been asking Ryan to get his bench up to at least 250.
Whoever might launch such weapons, why would they do it that way as opposed to, say, a Hiroshima type attack, which was pretty devastating where it landed, but it didn't wipe out even the people who launched it. So that's the part that's missing for me.
How many nuclear weapons did we have at the time that we dropped bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki? Two. We used them all. Now, we were building other ones, but we only had two. Nobody else had nuclear weapons, so there's no threat of nuclear retaliation. The size of the nuclear weapons that were dropped were 15 to 20 kilotons. Big bombs, but clearly not city killers, because they didn't kill the city. We're talking right now, the average warhead size that's going to hit an American city is 150 kilotons, probably up to around 700 kilotons. The ones that are going to go against the silos, et cetera, are going to be in the 700, 800 kilotons place because they're going to collapse. I don't know if we still do 1.2 megaton warheads anymore, but you know, we used to make warheads in the megaton range as well. And there's not two of them, Jeff. There's thousands of them, thousands. Back in the 1960s, when we began doing our PSYOP, our Single Integrated Operation Plan, the nuclear war plan, we calculated 400 nuclear weapons in the roughly half megaton range would be enough to destroy every target in the world worth destroying. If we strike, we're going to be, you know, using around the area of 1,500 of these weapons. These are huge weapons. They will, when they blow up, because these are giant weapons, one of the things that are going to happen is, you know, you're going to create this huge vortex. It's going to suck all this dust from the ground up and inject it in the atmosphere. And as it's doing that, this is going to become highly radioactive dust. You know, they say, well, nobody died of radiation in Hiroshima. A lot of people died of radiation in Hiroshima, but they were the ones who were directly impacted. If they were in the radioactive zone, just go take a look at the photographs of the Japanese getting the skin peeled off them later on and the number of people that died of cancer down the road. Now, what they didn't have there was thousands of nuclear explosions injecting this dirt into the atmosphere. First is the theory of, nuclear winter. The idea, and it's not, everybody's like, oh, that's fake, man. It's not real. I don't know, man. Krakatoa. You guys remember? No, you don't remember Krakatoa because it sort of happened in the 19th century. Krakatoa is a volcanic island in the Indonesian area that blew up, injected a whole bunch of crap in. And guess what happened, guys? Volcanic winter. That's just one volcano going boom. What happens when you have thousands of volcanoes going boom at the same time? But they're not just volcanoes, they're nuclear volcanoes. So now we have nuclear winter and it's raining nuclear dust down on us. Now, if you survive the immediate blast, remember we're talking about big stuff here, the stuff that's going to be raining down on you is going to kill you. And then we have the whole thing about food chains, no manufacturing. How many people are self-sufficient out there? I know that we got a whole bunch of people in America who go, I got a gun. Good luck with that gun, man. What you going to shoot? Where are you going to stay? There's not going to be any heat. I've got firewood. Go chop it in the radioactive dust. Everybody's going to die, Jeff. Then you know what? For the people out there.
Well, you're saying it's the retaliation. No, just because people have all these weapons doesn't mean they have to use all of them. In other words, if I were going to launch such a strike, I would want to try to do it in a way that doesn't kill me and my people. Jeff, are you saying that the radioactivity is going to spread all over the place because of the retaliation?
Jeff, what I'm saying is when you use this many nuclear weapons, it's going to spread out all over the place. The other thing is they're not going to use one weapon, Jeff. We have 400 missiles in silos spread out the entire central part of America. The Russians have to take those out because if they don't take those out, they fire against Russia. So automatically, all of center America is going, boom, goodbye. Das vidaniya. The same thing for the Russians. We have to target all their silos for the same thing. Now, when the war ends, because eventually we'll run out of nuclear weapons, here's the perverse part of this that a lot of people don't understand. See, we have nuclear planners who sit there and say, how do you define victory? And ultimately, victory is defined by the largest, most viable remaining civilization. And so the United States, in order to win a nuclear war, because remember, when we go to a nuclear, if we just limit it to just Russia and China, what happens when India becomes a superpower? Let's say that they don't all die of radioactivity, but America's been blown up. We've lost 60% of our capacity. We got 40% left. The Russians we took out, they got 30% left. The Chinese, they have 30% left. So we're a more viable, superior civilization than the Russians and Chinese. But India is operating at 80%. We can't allow that, Jeff. Do you see what I'm trying to tell you?
Yeah.
We can't.
Yeah.
Once we make the decision to go to nuclear war, to annihilate 6/10 of the earth, we have to ensure that we emerge as the dominant civilization, which means we will destroy everybody on the planet to make sure that's the case. That's the perversion of nuclear war. That's the deep, dark secret that nobody tells you about. Now you know why. When John F. Kennedy was briefed on it, he came out and he was sick and he was like, We can't do that. We call ourselves the human race. That's what he said to his national security advisor after hearing that plan. He's like, and every single president that has been briefed on the nuclear war plan said, that's insane. You have to give me options. You can't make me do this. Every single one of them. You can't make me do this. It's sick what you're asking me to do. You're asking me to kill the world. I need options. And then a year in, the nuclear planners wear them down. They say, Mr. President, you don't have any options. You see, if we do the option thing, then the enemy can get one up on us and then we don't guarantee. So, and all presidents end up signing off on the same goddamn plan every single freaking year. That's a reality, Jeff. If you saw the plan yourself, you'd say, that's insane. Nuclear war is insane by definition. And yet right now, we're that close to having a full-scale nuclear war because of idiots in the West who are sitting there saying, well, Russia's bluffing. Russia would never do it. Russia understands the consequences of nuclear war, but Vladimir Putin's the only honest leader out there. He said, I know what happens when we go to nuclear war. We die. We all die. But we'll go to heaven as martyrs. You, on the other hand, will go to hell. And that's his belief. I'm not saying that I support that. I prefer that he didn't think that way, but at least he said he thinks that way. So we know the Russians are ready to play. He's already said the orders have been given and signed. There will be no phone calls. It's all on automatic. We know what's going to happen. It's so predictable. The Russians have said exactly what's going to happen, and yet we continue to move in that direction. How do we stop it? How do we stop it? One of two ways. Pray for sanity in the West. We're not going to get that. Or two, get our asses over to Russia and start having conversations. I can tell you right now that I know that I'm going to appear in front of a lot of TV cameras in Russia, and I ain't holding back. I'm going to be...
That's, of course, why they kicked him off the plane. He wasn't going to hold back. He's going to spell it out. They want nuclear war, Joaquin. It's insane. You yourself have made that point again and again. It's outrageous. Anthony Blinken, you know, representative Netanyahu, kicked Scott Ritter off the plane because the Israelis, the Zionists, want war between the U.S. and United and Russia, and I believe it's going to start tomorrow. Your thought?
I'll tell you, nuclear war, we've all been around, those of us long enough. We were trained when we were young, back when Kennedy was president, and they were bringing in the Cuban missiles from Soviet Union. We basically were trained to get under the desk, and you know, not that would do anything, but since those days, which are so now long ago, it's all abstract to people. Nuclear war is an abstract concept. Oh, they see movies and you know, hear about the old days kind of thing, and the Khrushchev, Kennedy, October missile crisis, but it's all cerebral, abstract. They don't get it. I mean, Scott's like, you know, jumping up and down and saying, you know, we're this close. And we're all out there saying we're this close. And I just don't think that the people, the masses of the global population get it. They don't. They don't understand how close we are. Because, I mean, it's like the boy who cried wolf. I've been saying this for a long time, you know. I mean, several years now, I've been saying we're moving towards World War III. And you say something long enough, and it doesn't happen, then you fall into that, well, you're just an alarmist, you know? And so there's that kind of reaction now to us that are, like, giving out all these warnings. But... yeah, it's real, and it could very well happen, as you're saying, possibly even tomorrow. It's Bill. Unbelievable.
Bill. Well, I'm going to bring another voice in here and just simply point out that it's going to go one of two ways. It's going down that road, or this is a big bluff. And why do I say that? Like I said, there's no evidence of that 20-foot wall being taken down in any one space. How do those people get the other side? I've never seen any video footage of a 2,000-pound bomb crater in Gaza. We hear a lot about it, but we don't see the evidence. We don't see the evidence of the wall down. 9/11 is a different picture. We have the video. There's satellite imagery. Where is it? Where is it? It's not there. If they had it, we'd be seeing it. So that I have questions. Regarding Alex Jones and Sandy Hook and the CIA, that he works with them. That's all a load of freaking nonsense. The idea the CIA is trying to take Alex Jones down, he worked with them, with the CIA. He screwed over our good friend Jim Fetzer here and Wolfgang Halbig. He's a traitor. As far as I'm concerned, he's a puppet. So this whole idea the CIA is taking him down in his studio, it's all about clickbait. It's all freaking nonsense to point him out of some type of like he's the one who's bringing the truth. He's no more bringing the truth than Tucker Carlson. For Christ's sakes, they're all controlled. So, or Jimmy Dore or any of them. We have these half-truthers all over the internet And the real truth is, like, you guys get pushed so far to the margins along with Alan Sobrowski, right? So, and then you get blackballed when you tell the truth, like Jim. We know J6 from Russ Winter's video on Ashley Babbitt. She's fine. That's all bullshit with the third embedded video. It's all staged. Why is it? I found that before I met you all, just searching the internet from my one room with a cell phone, and Tucker's team and Jimmy Dore's team, who I by the way, I emailed Jimmy, Garland Nixon, Glenn Greenwald, Tulsi Gabbard, blah, 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 blah. And then I direct message everybody, and I'm all over X getting the word out by going direct to their platforms and then dropping. That's how I get my numbers up. So information war. We can get into how I kind of beat the algorithm, Jim and I. But also what we can do locally is what I keep pushing. I got arrested 4 times fighting corrupt in this corrupt friggin' state, but it had no team with me who was willing to get arrested. Like me, over, if we get enough people, like you said, Hakeem, we outnumber them 1,000,001. We start flooding the local courthouses and state houses. They did that J6 thing to make people fear they can get a 20-year sentence. Most of those people are insiders. It was a false flag event. And that Criminal Code 18, Section 1512, they use an obstruction. They never use that locally. It's all freaking nonsense. The federal judges are looking to take that down anyway with these charges against the protesters. So you're going to get a trespassing charge if you're on the steps of the freaking courthouse. Misdemeanor. Big freaking deal. Let's get all the military veterans. I'll finish with this, Jim. All the retired police officers who've got children and grandchildren to think about. I'd be at the courthouse now if I wasn't housebound and unable to get my legs in a car. I went in there until couldn't drive anymore. I'm looking to bring a ground welling up from the bottom and get the Fetzer's posse together to do it. And we start making a stand. We got to interrupt the system somehow. We have to have a tangible. We start clogging up the criminal justice system, the civil system with lawsuits. We can grind that to a standstill. And anyway, so that's a whole nother show maybe. But anyway, Jim, I'll close with that.
Well, if we have a future, you know, if we have a future at all, those are all worthy ideas and projects and plans. Joaquin, I'm just apprehensive as hell that the shit is going to hit the fan tomorrow.
Yeah, it leaves me speechless. I'm saying, yeah, it's imminent, but wow, to think that it's going to happen in a few hours, it's incredible. But yeah, all the indications are suggesting that it is going to be very short time away. So, you know, I think it's time for prayer too. I know that you're not keen on that, Jim, but that it always helps to me anyway, for me.
I take help anywhere I can get it, Joaquin. And in this situation, the whole world needs it. Yeah. Let me read you some of the reasons we're in such dire straits. Washington attacked key element of Russia's nuclear umbrella. These are the early warning signs. According to Russian nuclear doctrine, any attack on Russia's essential nuclear first alert system provides a justification for nuclear retaliation. Clearly, the Biden admin has decided it cannot prevail in Ukraine absent NATO involvement. It can't prevail even with NATO involvement. Second Russian nuclear missile warning radar hit by Ukraine. Also attempt to hit a third. The second hit an advanced over-the-horizon early warning system in the Yorks region of Orenburg, 1,800 kilometers from the Ukrainian border. Clearly, this had nothing to do with the defense of Ukraine. Hal Turner's analysis. When I reported the first attack, I pointed out the station did not provide coverage for Ukraine. There was no military advantage for Ukraine to have attacked this radar station. I pointed out the only reason a station like this would be attacked would be to set the stage for a NATO nuclear first strike on Russia. Bolstering my belief, it's NATO that one of the drones shot down during the first attack was a tech ever AR-3 drone made by Portugal, a NATO member. The second time, Ukraine hit a radar and attempted to shoot down a third, extremely worrying development, clearly being done not for Ukraine defense, but rather as a NATO destabilization of the combat command and control system of Russia. The second attack again happened May 26th to 27th. Here's more about it. I may be wrong about the idea, but I'm not wrong about the vulnerability being created within Russia with these particular attacks, setting the stage as he see it for a decapitation nuclear attack against Russia, solving the Russian problem in one fell swoop. At some point, Russia is going to be in a position where they have a single choice, use them or lose them. I'm of the belief Russia will use them, because failing to do so would leave Russia at the mercy of NATO and thereby a conquered nation. I don't see the Russian putting up with that. The Slavic mentality, with which I agree, it's better to die on your feet than to live on your knees. In sum, we in the West are constantly upping the ante in the Russian-Ukraine conflict, now to actual nuclear war. This is not the treaty role of NATO. I know of no American or European who's authorized or asked for World War III. Meanwhile, Russia has moved 11 nuclear subs into the Atlantic. Each sub carries from 6 to 16, in some cases up to 32 missiles, each of which can hold from 6 to 10 nuclear warheads. This deployment, mute, Bill. We can hear your typing. This deployment means a cautious estimate proves there are now around 1,000 warheads on Russian subs that can be headed toward the U.S., toward NATO, anywhere in the world. The deployment comes just day after Ukraine attacked or damaged and destroyed two separate Russian over-the-horizon nuclear missile warning stations. When they were hit, a lack of radar put a hole in Russia's nuclear protection. When they were operational, Russia had between 14 and 16 minutes of advance warning. Now that they're gone, if a missile were launched from a sub in the Eastern Mediterranean, anywhere in the Red Sea, the Gulf of Arabia, even Somalia, African continent, they'd have only 10 to 12 minutes. You know, it dropped by 4 minutes, 14 to 10, 16 to 12. The destruction means Russia can only detect inbound missiles when they're past the horizon. Given the speed at which they travel, that warning is frankly too little, too late. This compressed time frame no longer allows Russia to figure out what might be happening before they decide to launch a return strike. The absence of time to think things through might end up causing the Russians to launch their nuclear weapons in response. Here we have more. When the first Russian radar was destroyed, I knew it would be interpreted by Russia as opening a hole to allow a NATO first strike. I told my radio audience after the second would allow sub-launched nuke to penetrate deep into Russia, hitting Moscow as well as Russia's nuclear silos before Russia had time to defend itself. Apparently, the Russians have seen this as well. There's a reason Russia is saying 11 nuclear subs. I think it's because they know they have to hit the U.S. This is what the nitwits in the House of Representatives, the Senate, the illegitimate president have done to us. Their decision to meddle in the Russia-Ukraine conflict, their constant upping the ante with Russia, have now resulted in today's deployment of subs from Russia into the Atlantic, likely heading to U.S. firing positions. Joaquin, these are grim circumstances. I don't see how you can avoid the conclusion. NATO is setting up for a first strike, and Russia damn well knows it.
Yeah, if you're going to start taking out the early detection radar systems, you don't do that just to do it. and then leave it alone. And obviously, Ukraine has no nuclear weapons. So it's done for the West because the West wants it, and that the controllers of the West want World War III, nuclear war. And this is the biggest story of all. I mean, more than, you know, bombing targets inside Russia. This is the biggest story of the week as far as suggesting, indicating that World War III nuclear is coming. It's a violation. And basically, it leaves no other choice for Putin to retaliate. And yeah, I see no other option.
That's my opinion, Joaquin, and I think he'd be well advised to strike first. I mean, there's too much evidence of what NATO is planning. And even under international law, if you anticipate an imminent strike, you are allowed to strike first. That is law, international law, UN charter. They would be acting perfectly appropriately under the law.
Right. And basically, it's like a matter of Putin realizing we're open to that. They're probably launching at any second. And so, of course, it forces him to take action. It's done with the intent. And obviously, if there's going to be a, you know, hopefully there's going to be tactical nukes. But once you reach that slippery slope, it very quickly becomes strategic, where it affects the whole radioactive dust all over the world, just about.
I think it's going to be strategic from the beginning. I don't think tactical nukes are going to make a difference. And we already, by the way, we'll be right back with Joaquin Egobian and Bill Bonatotti. Stand by.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Torture us and bomb us, fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. Time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio. 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 Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
So how bad is this? Biden secretly gave Ukraine permission to strike inside Russia with U.S. weapons. Bill, again, you got to mute. You got to mute. We're hearing your typing, Bill. Please, mute. Biden secretly gave Ukraine permission to strike inside Russia with U.S. weapons. Ukraine asked the U.S. to make a policy change after Russia's offensive in Kharkov began this month, which has been a disaster for Ukraine. In the last few days, the U.S. made the decision to allow Ukraine flexibility to defend itself from the attacks on the border near Kharkov. Ukraine can now use American-provided weapons such as rockets, rocket launchers, shoot-down launch Russian missiles heading toward Kharkov, troops massing just over the Russian border, Russian bombers launching bombs toward Ukrainian territory. The official said, but of course, this is ridiculous. Ukraine cannot use those weapons to hit civilian infrastructure or launch long-range missiles, such as Army tactical missile systems, to hit military targets deep inside Russia. But it's already happening. U.S. missiles strike an oil facility deep inside Russia using cruise missiles in ATACMS. U.S. allowing Ukraine to use its weapon to strike inside Russia. And here they claim unlikely a game changer vis-a-vis the war in Ukraine. But it's a big deal from the Russian point of view. The story of the past 27 months had been one of crumbling taboos. After repelling Russia's initial march on Kiev, Ukraine asked its Western allies for greater and greater support. First ammunition, then tanks, then cluster munitions, then fighter jets. Each time, the West agonized over whether to grant Kiev's latest request, fearing escalation and a potential Russian response. Each time, the taboo was broken and nothing happened. What seemed beyond the pale 1 week had become banal the next. Russia, as a consequence, has launched anti-satellite weapons into space. The U.S. intel community believes they've launched an anti-satellite weapon currently deployed near American satellites, of course. Why else would you launch an anti-satellite other than to take out your enemy's own? U.S. Ambassador Robert Wood, alternative representative at the UN, made the revelation on May 16. Russia launched a satellite into low Earth orbit. U.S. assesses to be a counter-space weapon capable of attacking other satellites in low Earth orbit. Russia deployed the new in the same orbit as U.S. government satellites. CNN noted, Russia previously launched an anti-satellite weapon back in 2022 following the intrusion into Ukraine. Meanwhile, UN Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg shrugged off warning from Putin against NATO countries allowing Ukraine to strike Russian territory with Western weapons. This is nothing new. It has been the case for a long time. Every time NATO ally provides support to Ukraine, Putin is trying to threaten us not to do it. And as for escalation, well, Russia escalated by invading another country. Putin has warned there would be serious consequence for any NATO nation that lifted restriction on Ukraine's use of weapons. Moscow previously warned it would respond to Ukraine using British weapons on Russian territory with strikes on UK military sites in Ukraine and beyond Gibraltar specifically being cited. Russia has already significantly escalated its operation in Ukraine in response to Ukrainian attacks. For example, Russia did not begin major strikes on Ukrainian infrastructure until after the first bombing of the Crimean Bridge back in October 2022. Putin also said Russia's new offense in Kharkov, responding to Ukrainian attacks on Russia's Belgorod Oblast, which borders Kharkov. Over the weekend, Russia launched a major barrage of strikes against Ukrainian infrastructure, could be related to the latest escalation by NATO. Here you have Jens Stoltenberg with Zelensky. Everyone wants to kiss his ass. Meanwhile, NATO planned to get U.S. troops to the front line to fight Russia. Alliance prepares for rapid deployment of American soldiers amid fears Moscow is plotting a major war with Europe. How absurd. It's Europe that is plotting a major war with Moscow. NATO is drawing up plans to send American troops to the front line in the event of an all-out conflict. These are the American forces that Biden assured us would never be on the ground in Ukraine. New land corridors are being carved out to funnel soldiers through Central Europe without local bureaucratic impediments, allowing NATO forces to pounce in an instant should Putin's devastating war in Ukraine move further west. The plans are said to include contingencies in case of Russian bombardment, letting troops sweep into the Balkan via corridors in Italy, Greece, and Turkey, and toward Russia's northern border via Scandinavia. Here you have a map. And this, of course, appeared in the Daily Mail, a very prominent UK publication. If you and I have the map, we know damn well the Russians have the map. I mean, Joaquin, the situation here is just absurd. I mean, beyond belief. Your thoughts?
Well, they're bringing back the draft, basically, in a lot of countries. It's already present now in a number of European countries, but those that haven't had it in a while, like Germany, UK, they're bringing it back. And they've also been talking about it in America. So, I mean, what does that tell you? Obviously, the recruitment enlistments are down. We have a woke military. If you're a man, you don't want to be serving with a he/she. And, you know, I mean, they actually give the people that are crossing over, having their anatomy removed, a whole year to do it without any kind of assignment militarily until the operation is complete. In the meantime, they're put on these hormones that are permanently disabling as well. I mean, it's all by design that the Western military becomes weak and becomes unable to defend itself. Then we give all our weapons over to Ukraine to be a lost cause now, because we know that war is going to be over unless they build it up into a World War III, which they're doing right now. So all indications are they're panicking, and they realize we have to move fast now because Russia is going to defeat Ukraine. And of course, they use always the same broken record, same old thing. Oh, Putin is not going to stop. Once he takes the border of Ukraine, he's going to keep going further west. You know, it's the same broken record lie. Putin has never wanted to dominate the West. He's wanted to become a peaceful member of trading with the West. He's been demonized for 25 years now. I mean, the Cold War never stopped. It's just disgusting.
We got the European version of the domino theory, because which we were supposed to be fighting Vietnam when Vietnam was fiercely nationalistic. They would have had nothing to do with China intruding. There was no interest in Southeast Asia, Thailand, Cambodia, the Philippines. It was all nonsense. But it was peddled to the American public as though it were serious. We have the same thing happening in Europe today. Bill, your thoughts.
Well, it's either playing out exactly as you guys are saying and all the reports we're getting are actually happening. And then, of course, Putin is putting that box. Or we're hearing a bunch of war gaming. And, you know, for example, guys, we knew there were AI generations or previous old footage on the Ukraine war. Remember, we kept seeing, well, wait a minute, did this really happen now or did it really happen? There was a lot of that going on. I contend lots of that's happening with Gaza and Israel now. And perfect example, we have no footage of the wall being taken down in any one spot. No video of any 2,000-pound crater. So I don't know how much is actually happening or how much is just the war monsters putting out the messaging. I have no way of knowing. You know, to me, if they don't have footage, then what we don't have.
Bill has a wag the dog theory about the war in Joaquin. Now, I, of course, agree that October 7th was manufactured, fabricated. We had IDF members already saying it was impossible that it could have happened. I agree with all of that. Ukraine, I'm sorry to say, appears to be absolutely 100% bona fide. I even have a dear colleague, Scott Bennett, who's been there. He's gone to Ukraine. He's seen the whole thing going on up close and personal. So I cannot accept wag the dog for Ukraine, even though I think there's a lot of that, maybe 100% regarding October 7th in Israel. Your thoughts?
Oh, hold on, Jim. You mischaracterized me just now. I didn't say the whole thing was that. What I said was how much is happening, how much isn't. I never said it was all wag the dog.
Yeah, well, you're certainly suggesting a lot of it might be, right?
Well, you know what? We'll find out next week. We're still here and we're talking. We know it's not. According to you, it's all going to blow up tomorrow or the next day. So either it does or it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, Scott River gives us till mid-June. I just think it's going to happen a lot sooner. Joaquin.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both. Some of it is played actors, you know, but I think it's for real as far as the outcome here of potential nuclear war. I think that's all very real. I wish it was just pure gaming and to scare us and make us more easily controlled. But no, I believe that the outcome is going to be very grave, and nobody is prepared for it.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Hear more. American troops taking part in the NATO exercise, Steadfast Defender, in May. Just in May. That's last month. Russian American troops take part in NATO drills in Poland in May. Here we have now French President Macron to announce Europe is at war with Russia on June 6th. June 6th will be a landmark day for the whole of Europe. France will officially make the first announcement of sending military personnel from a European NATO state to Ukrainian territory. The Ukrainian president, whose term expired on May 21st, is to attend the commemoration of the 80th anniversary of the Allied landing in Normandy on June 6th. Macron confirmed his visit. I will have the opportunity when President Zelensky goes to France next week for Normandy landing day ceremonies to welcome him and then discuss very clearly what we are going to do, what we are going to do to support Ukraine. According to international media, Macron will choose, not by chance, June 6th in order to announce in front of other Western leaders the mission of French soldiers to Ukraine to shoulder responsibility of training in Kiev. Training? Will it be for training only? Of course not. This is just the first step to open a European-Russia war. The French brigade in Odessa will follow. NATO forces in Western Ukraine will follow. Now we have a head of NATO military saying a cyber attack would be sufficient to invoke Article 5. Get this. The head of NATO's military committee, Admiral Rob Bauer, has said NATO can now declare war over a cyber attack. We have agreed in NATO that a cyber attack can, in principle, be a reason to invoke Article 5. So now not only a real attack, but a cyber attack can be a reason for NATO to declare Article 5. It's important to find out who organized such an attack, regardless of the route, the servers, their location, whether the countries in which they're located were aware of the attack. The main thing is to identify the organizer. If the attack is unknown, after all, you don't have enough data to declare war on anyone unless you manufacture it yourself. Hal Turner. For over 2 years, NATO has goaded Russia, trying to get Russia to attack over the ongoing NATO interface in Ukraine. Russia won't take the bait. Instead, Russia is steadily destroying all the weapons and manpower Ukraine and NATO is throwing at them. NATO is hamstrung. They can't do any more for Ukraine, and Ukraine is now losing badly. So they seem to have come up with a nifty alternative, cyber attack. They can attack their own countries in a massive and destructive cyber attack, blame it on Russia, and then invoke Article 5 to enter the Ukraine war, as they have desperately sought to do for 2 years. A completely, totally false flag cyber attack as a basis to blame Russia and enter World War III. These people, I think, are snakes. There's apparently nothing they will not stoop to cause another war. Here we had that report on the Eisenhower being hit with a hypersonic missile. Here you see, look at this. One deck beneath the communication antennae. Here we have a video showing... But look, my colleague, Carl Herman, was very astute in pulling out photographs of the Eisenhower. Look how it has triple decks beneath the communication antennae. That was not the Eisenhower in those images. I do believe it was intended to send the message that if the United States continues its activities in attacking the Houthis in Yemen, this is what they may anticipate. And as I mentioned early on, now Eisenhower has been moved 1,800 kilometers away, allegedly for maintenance. Possibly, as you suggest, Joaquin, maybe there was some partial damage. But it would not appear to be the ship seen in those videos, which might be from a movie or easily constructed using the video capabilities of computers. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that the USS Eisenhower was damaged, and I think that it's sailing away and probably will not be available again. I think it got some damage, and apparently its destroyer also Gravely, the USS Gravely, the destroyer also took a hit. And I believe that that probably is the case. And you were touching on how false flags through cyber attacks. I think that's an easy way that they're going to start it, because it's all very simple to do as far as you doing it to yourself and then blaming Russia. They have so many options of how they're going to actually begin it. It could be the Big Bang from the very beginning, or it could be starting out with some kind of cyber attack blaming Russia. But everything is just coming at us. I mean, every day, more and more. So we know something's going to happen very, very soon. How soon? It's debatable whether it's tomorrow or next week or maybe next month, but it's coming. It's coming.
How can they resist 6624 equaling 666, Joaquin? They cannot resist that. Bill, yeah. your thoughts.
Okay, a couple quick comments. One, you kind of made my point, Jim, where Carl diagnosed it. It's not the same ship. It kind of makes my point, I argue, that it's war gaming footage. I want to comment real quick regarding Scott Ritter, Judge Knapp being taken. You know, nothing more to bring more attention to those two men than to have them taken off of planes. The Streisand effect, because those guys have great platforms and they are number one in YouTube. So of course everybody's going to pick that up. So again, if they're not suppressing the message, if anything, they're ramping it up by doing that. Why? I don't know. I don't have all the answers, of course. I'm just speaking of. Now, regarding the future, I mean, we've got thousands of coal burning plant permits pulled between China and India and construction underway. Now, they're crushing the U.S. economy for all the reasons we know, according to the New World Order plan. But that's not the case in Asia. So why would they be? I mean, it's counterproductive. The two things aren't lined up. They're totally juxtaposed. To be building coal-fired plants when you're planning to destroy the population of the Earth. I mean, anyway, I'll leave it at that.
Joaquin, you want to pick up on that?
About the coal burning, I'm not sure about that. I know that the plan is clearly to destroy the West. They've been working on that now for a long time. You know, they have a replacement agenda. They're, you know, the borders are wide open in Europe as well as America. And they are flooding our country with foreign invaders. Also are developing AI, very, very advanced AI, taking over, robotics taking over. So we're all expendable, but they have gone after the most wealthy continents on Earth, Australia, New Zealand, Europe, and North America. And they've gone after primarily the white population, the Christian population, and the nations that have had the largest affluent middle classes. These are the populations that are in the crosshair for death, more than any other place in the world. And then you look at the Deagle.com, and that was an inside organization. They got intelligence operatives feeding them lots of insider information on that website. And they were saying just a couple of years ago that 2025, there's going to be only 65 million people in America out of the 332 or whatever. Now, that which is 4 out of 5 people in America now, by next year at some point, they're saying they won't be there. And you know that they're not going to be leaving all to other countries, some, a few, handful. But, you know, it's very indicative of what we're talking about on this whole broadcast, that it looks like war on a big scale is imminent, and it's just around the corner.
I agree, of course, 100%. Bill, did you want to offer a contrasting opinion?
I don't have a crystal ball. You know, all I can do is the past predicting the future. Yes, we know with the Rockefeller Special Studies Project 1956, which is the prospect for America. We know the agenda to basically control demolition of Western economies. We see it in effect. And the of course, the Silk Road built up to Asia. That's where the population is. That's where the growth is. They're going to let us die in the vine here and bring in the undocumented to replace jobs and AI. And Yuval Noah Harari talked about for the future by 2050, 80% of jobs be taken over by AI. And what's the future for us? Meta-universe and drugs, the useless workers. So we know what the greater plan is, this transhumanism plan and tranny plan, you know, to break up the family. You know, we see that. I just don't think it's going to come through nuclear war. I think that's to trauma-based mind control on the populace, just like the Sandy Hook domestic alleged mass casualty events and the COVID frauds to control us. So I will see. I mean, how can I know?
Yep.
I'm just trying to watch and see what's happening, Jim.
If you have workers replaced by robots, how do they make money to buy the products? It seems to me it's an absurd scheme. We'll be right back, and I'll open the lines for you all.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen, with host Zen Garcia, at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And I'm opening the call-in line, area code 608-957-8727. 608-957-8727. Bill, you've several times brought up to me about what you took to be the absence of craters from large bombs, even suggesting bodies there didn't look legit to you. I just say we got War News 24/7 reporting. We got South Front reporting. There are a lot of sources reporting here, not to mention the major networks. We got a couple of callers already standing by. I think it would be pretty tough to fake what's going on in Gaza. Let me see what we got here. Area code 816, join the conversation.
One thing that I think has been overlooked, I haven't seen anyone talking about this, is after the Russians launched their anti-satellite in low Earth orbit, I think it was even less than a week later, their deep space communications array that communicates with their satellites is in a place in Crimea called Alusta, A-L-U-S-T-A. And on May 23rd, they took it out. Okay, that was the first strategic thing they took out before they were attacking those other arrays. And that was on May 23rd. And no one talks about it. And I'm surprised that we don't hear more about that. So I don't know if that means that they can't communicate with that low Earth satellite they put in or what's going on. But that would be one more reason for the Russians to be a little pissed off.
Joaquin.
Yeah, I think we're seeing aggressive moves every day by the West. And I think that they're wide open for attacks now, taking out their radar system. That's the biggest story, I think, out of all of them. There's so much indication of the inevitable. There is so much. They've been doing it for a long time, but they've stepped it up just in this last week tremendously.
Brian, before you go forward, we have caller 408, probably Paul. Join the conversation, 408.
Stay tuned momentarily for audio effect.
Go ahead, Paul.
One. Here we go.
Well, boys, I reckon this is it. Nuclear combat, toe-to-toe.
This is Dr. Strangelove.
Yeah.
Love it. I love it. It's the most important film ever made.
Another Kubrick movie.
Yeah, of course. Go ahead, Paul.
That's it, man. That's my contribution.
What's a great contribution? Paul's a skeptic of the existence of nuclear weapons, Joaquin, by the way, which he's not adding here, but I add for him. I only wish he were right. And of course, as Einstein observed, he didn't know with what weapons World War III would be fought, but he knew World War IV would be fought with sticks and stones.
Yeah.
I will add this, that let's not lose our heads here. We know how much theater and propaganda we're subjected to on a regular basis. All we really know is, quote, what's being reported. And as you know, Jim, you spent the latter half of your career debunking so much, quote, reporting. So I personally have zero fear. I mean, zero fear of a nuclear war.
Well,
there's no way. I'll bet anybody any amount of money. I'll give you any time frame you want. 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. It's not going to happen.
Well, in case you have any doubt, I've got plans to take my wife out to lunch tomorrow. So, you know, I certainly hope it doesn't happen, Paul. I'm just telling you what all the evidence leads me to conclude. Joaquin, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think we can't take everything so seriously. And obviously, I think if we're this close, I really don't have any fear either, actually, because when it's time to go, I feel like I'm not perfect, but I tried my best for humankind, and I can raise my head no matter what happens in the afterlife. I can say I did my best, God. And so I have no fear. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't fear death. I like Thurgood Marshall's observation for his tombstone. I did what I could with what I had. That's how I feel about myself. You know, I did what I could with what I had.
Yeah.
Paul, go ahead, and then we'll come back to Brian.
Well, for the moment, I'll just say that was one of your better lines on all of your shows, Jim, when you said that you had plans to take your wife out to lunch tomorrow. I thought that was cool.
I do. Brian, go ahead. Chime in, Brian.
Well, I think what's going on is they are trying desperately to get World War III, but the Russians and the Iranians are just not cooperating, and they're just not going to allow it to happen. And I feel that has something to do with their financial system of getting ready to collapse. And in the past, they've always used a major war to reset things and avoid, the comeuppance of that. And I think that's what's going on. I even read online that the day that Reza, that president of Iran, went down, they said, oh, the weather was really bad that day. Well, if you Google Earthed on that day, it was a clear day, but they blocked it, and now you can't see that. And I think it goes back to them trying to get this war going, but the Iranians are not cooperating, the Russians are not cooperating, and I just don't see it happening. I'm like you guys, I don't really fear this, you know, world war happening.
Well, it's interesting, Paul and Brian, and I think, too, Bill, think it's not going to happen. Joaquin and I are pretty much convinced it will, sad to say. Bill, you want to add some thoughts?
Yeah, well, first of all, you mentioned what will people do for a living, universal basic income, when AI, that's what they say. What they're going to do with it, I think it'll be a lot of depopulation through the jabs, the mRNA platforms will keep rolling out, killing people. But and who knows, there may be some controlled war happening to wipe out men who can impregnate women. I mean, let's face it. That's one of the reasons they do it, isn't it? I agree with Paul. I whether or not there's evidence of nuclear bombs dropped in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, I've read both sides. I don't have an opinion one way or the other. We know people were burned alive. That we know. That was a true Holocaust there in 70 German cities. So, and Tokyo. So, yeah, I'm not worried at all. I like Joachim, I'm going to, Lord will take me whenever, and I don't believe it's the end of my soul's existence, so I'm good with it. I'm going to leave eventually somehow. Even Jack Elaine died after doing all those push-ups and sit-ups at 80 years old. So, you know, it is what it is. And I don't have a, I never, like, all I'm saying, I know that 20-foot wall was not breached with a loader, period. That's rock solid. So is there video of 20-foot 2,000 Bob craters? I haven't seen it. I'm not saying the whole thing is a wag the dog. I'm just saying, I'm like, show it to me. Where's the evidence? Just like we're in court, Jim. Show me the evidence. And we're not seeing it. Why is there such a lack of evidence?
Bill, I think we're all convinced your argument's masterful, that there was no breach of the wall on October 7th. It was a charade. Paul, give us further of your thoughts, my friend. Paul.
Well, in response to Bill, yeah, Jack Elaine, went, but he was towing rowboats shackled in San Francisco Bay up to the very end. So that'll give us all something to aspire to, huh?
What a guy.
It was amazing. I think he was damn near 90 when he did it for the last time.
Yeah, something like that, right?
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah, you know where I stand. Look, I don't believe. I'm convinced of many things, and one of them is that there are no nuclear weapons. So my opinion is, not only is it not going to happen, but even if they wanted it to happen, they'd have to fake it, because I don't believe in the physics of it. And I believe in the fakery of it and the hoax of it, because there's ample evidence of that on all.
Yeah.
I mean, not just the film.
How much I wish you were right, Paul. Joaquin.
Well, you know, it's been mentioned, they are timing a big war with the collapse of the economy. I think that's also very evident now, more so than ever. I think there was an article out today or so in the Business Insider, and they're saying that 63 banks are on the verge of collapse, and they have lost $517 billion. You know, we saw a bank here and there in the last year and a half, but the crash is coming. And so, yeah, that's their game plan. What do they do when they have a big crash and major depression? They always inject major war.
And you know, this is a good point I would like to comment on. So that is probably more to the mark than almost everything else. And these people, as you know, they have the capability to fake us out with fake events, meanwhile doing other things. So how many years did they have most of the world believing that Arab hijackers crashed airplanes into the Twin Towers, right? I mean, leave alone all the controversy about how they collapsed, but they still to this day have a majority of the population believing that, something which, of course, Jim knows, and probably everybody else here knows, did not occur. So they can say, hey, all these things are going on with the escalation of tensions, and even fake a couple of, because it's well known, part of the, you know, research that I looked into about this, that conventional weapons, you know, create a mushroom cloud. Okay, you have a large enough explosion that creates a mushroom cloud. So they could do anything they want with cameras, with computer manipulation, animation, whatever it is. And they could convince us all, and then this would go right in line with what Joaquim is saying. Because if you listened, all of us have probably heard Catherine Austin Fitz and many other people undressing this financial system, which has been supposedly on the verge of collapse for a very long time. So that would not shock me at all
to do something like what he's suggesting, which is just to cover it all up with this war, and then maybe even use the so-called war to proceed with the further destruction of all the economies of the West, which is what they have in mind for the most part. That's my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah, they're it's going to be the excuse for their great reset, you know, the central bank digital currency. They're going to outlaw cash. They're going to make sure that everything is controlled and surveilled. That's where we're headed, unless we head them off at the pass. We temporarily dodged a bullet with the pandemic agreement with a deadline, but they're not done with that too. They got, you know, they're working on the bird flu. Billions of birds have been culled, and they've been working on, oh, it's gone into the human population, you know, and they got Pandemic X in the works too. You know, they've been talking about that. So yeah, all the weapons of mass destruction, they still got them, and they will unleash along with war and all, the crash and starvation and all the rest.
Bill, would you like to make a few additional comments?
Well, I agree with Paul. And I obviously, a lot of what Hakeem is saying, I'm not juxtaposed to everything you're saying, Jim. As far as the bird flu and all that, they're using PCR. We know that they're generating that. A lot of something, creating a lot more. We all have similar DNA. Kerry Mullis broke down PCR, which he invented, the Nobel Prize winning scientist. It's not a diagnostic tool. It's a process to amplify DNA to create more of it to use in the lab to test on. And so they use that false test. And the whole thing was a scam. Now they're going to keep pushing that. I think an information war is the issue here. And one thing I'll mention, Hakeem, starting at 11:15, I started doing my little technique of pumping out things. Your recent post on Jim's site on your response to Paul Craig has over 2,600 views since 11:15 this morning. So I'm trying to get the information war, tackle it. We had Alan Sobrowski, one of his posts had 140,000 views. And I know it's a small amount of the population, but who knows what the real numbers are. I don't think we're getting the real numbers anyway. So that's all I can find on that level. And I think, again, J6 was meant to intimidate people not to protest at the local courthouses and municipal buildings. I think we don't need to be in fear of that. And I think that's where we can take a stand from the grassroots level up. People don't have to travel to Washington. They just go to local courthouse, local municipal building.
Paul might like to hear that our recent Pull the Hoax panel discussion is now over 100,000 views, Paul. Over 100,000 views, thanks to Bill promoting it so aggressively.
100,000 views on where? On Twitter? On
Yeah, Twitter. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, because it's pretty good. I mean, you know, there are four of us involved, Carl Herman and Chris Weinert and Bill and myself. And there's quite a lot there to expose anyone who pays attention to confirm my belief that if you've done the research, you're either a Holocaust denier or a big fat liar. And to get over 100,000, I think there's a special interest because of the slaughter of the Palestinians in Gaza, which the Israelis love to justify based on the Holocaust. That's supposed to allow them to do anything they want whatsoever. Joaquin.
Yeah, I think it's time for the Khazarian mafia to be exposed. And one of their mafia bosses is Bibi the Butcher. And I don't think Israel's going to be around too much longer. Henry Kissinger, way back in 12, I think, said it had 10 years. Well, 2022 passed. That was the 10-year mark. But they're on borrowed time now. They really are.
I agree. Bill, I know you wanted to comment on the whole Hogs. You've done such a great job promoting it. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, for those on Twitter, how did I break the algorithm? When I first came to Twitter, I was getting hundreds of views, 400, 500, 600. Then they dropped it to 20, 30 views. And to this day, if I don't pump things out the way I'm doing, I can't get the message out. So I've been working on that. That's how I get the message out on Alan's show and the whole Hoax show, by pumping the message out to the major content creators and dropping in their chats our work. And people see it. And that's how we get the views and they respond. Now, when I got the heavy response, when they changed the title to Holocaust Revisionism Panel to Stop Zionism Wars, you know, so I said, wait a minute, let me tag what's going on right now in Gaza and Israel. And that's when the views started to really climb. So, we can fight the information wars through X, even though they try and muffle that. Now, we got screwed. Well, speaking of the Holocaust panel, in all humility, I have to say, we kicked ass. We freaking tore apart that freaking narrative to freaking shreds. No one with a half a brain can watch that thing and come away with believing the Holocaust happened. I mean, just like Bishop Williamson said, right? All the evidence is on the Holocaust revisionist side and all the emotions on the exterminationist side. I thought we did a really good job. I was glad to be a part of that, Paul. If you have a chance to watch it, I think you'll be pleasantly impressed. There's so much overwhelming evidence. And that's why I think it's gotten the views. What we can do with it from there, we'll see. Now, they sabotage our X space that Jim and I tried to do last Saturday, Fetzi's Broad Deal X space, which takes place between 1 p.m. as long as Jim can stick around and me. And real quickly, Jim couldn't hear me, so I called him on my phone. So we were communicating through the X space that way. And then he had to take a call. The next thing you know, he comes back in and the phone started reverberating and spitting back like recordings back at me of me or Jim speaking. It was the weirdest thing. And Jim couldn't hear. So, and then we had another listener who messaged me saying, Bill, I keep getting kicked out. People have told me in the past, Bill, when you do your X space, a lot of times I have trouble hearing. It's interrupted. And then they go to other X spaces they can hear. And then the recording comes out perfect. I'm not saying this past recording, but the two prior. So it looks like X is set on sabotaging. Alan Zabrowski couldn't get in at all, and he has an X account. And so, they don't want Jim and Alan, the dynamic duo, speaking about, you know, things, you know, two U.S. Marine Corps veterans, professors, esteemed professors. And then they can't stand the truth, Jim. They can't stand the truth. That's why we're here on Revelation Radio, right? Amen.
I think you got that right. Paul, would you like to have some final thoughts today? Paul.
We'll have a question. So I want to check out this video that you posted, but how long is it roughly?
Less than 2 hours.
Oh, okay. So also it's lengthy, but still, even though it's lengthy, we don't know if they viewed it all the way through, but at least they're clicking on it. Right.
True.
Cause I'm a.
True. So Carl for a half an hour, I for a half an hour. Then Chris came in and Bill had a whole lot of memes that he threw into the mix. I think Bill actually got some insertions earlier, even before I spoke. It's a pretty good mix, okay. Paul. I think you'd enjoy it, actually. Check it out.
No, I probably will. We can only hope that a lot of people come new to the to all the information, and you're not just getting the people on there that already believe, you know, as they say. But good for you guys. Good, well done.
Well, Joaquin is my guest today. I want to give you the final words today. Where you say things are going? How is the month of June going to play out? I mean, I just believe that this war is inevitable now, and that kicking Scott Ritter off when he could have made a powerful explanation why it was a bad idea was part and parcel of his promotion. Your thoughts?
Well, There's a lot of talk, not just us, but I don't know if you're, a lot of people are very familiar with Cliff High. And he's a computer wizard and a good analyst as well. And he's saying that June 20th, right around that period. And then there's an astrologer that also has come out and said it's going to be around that same time too. So, I mean, between it happening tomorrow to basically the end of this month, there are a lot of different sources independently reaching the same conclusion that something big is going to happen this month.
And by the way, I think that's why they've gone after Alex Jones and Mike Adams. They have such large platforms. Something big is going to happen, and they don't want them to be in the position of explaining what's going on to the American people. I'm convinced that's the reason they're being attacked right now. Bill, you wanted to throw in a word here?
Yeah, I'll close by saying I think that's a psyop, my opinion, because we know Alex is full of beans regarding Sandy Hook. And so I think they're trying to build them up by having some voice of authority. I don't buy it. I don't know what happened to Mike, why he went that way, knowing I'm sure he understands the Sandy Hook matter. I know you've talked to him. I don't know about Sandy, but anyway, so I'm sitting back and watching that too.
Thanks, Bill. Joaquin, again, then I think the situation is grim. I don't see us getting out of June without being in a world war, and I think it goes nuclear from the beginning. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's certainly looking that way with the wide open defense radar system down in Russia. Oh, that's just terrible there. Do a lot of praying, get right with God. I believe in prayer actually does affect the material universe here. And if we all got together and prayed for peace, you know, maybe something that would have an impact too.
Wonderful to have you here, Joaquin. Spend as much time as you can with your family, your friends, the people you love and care about, because we do not know how much time we have left. And support Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio.